How's everybody doing this morning?
Great. That's pressure.
No pressure.
Good deal.
It's all in the Lord's hands.
That's
there's
right.
Nothing any of us can do without the Lord. So.
That's right.
The Lord's given me a word for the body. I know last week Penny talked about loving ourselves and the inner beauty. And this week I feel like the Lord is going to teach us about how to love others, how to embrace others. And this is going to be something different than most of you have ever heard. The message is entitled, Embrace Your Worms and Thank God for Your Donkeys.
Thank God for your what?
Donkeys.
Oh.
Embrace Your Worms and Thank God for Your Donkeys.
Okay.
It's a funny title, but it has a sincere meaning. How many of us have people in our lives that every one of us just completely love, just enjoy being around? Every person in your life you just enjoy being around.
Every person.
How many of us have every person? Every person in your life you enjoy being around. Okay. Today we're going to learn how to enjoy every person.
Okay, that would be good.
For me, this is a personal experience that I've had to go through. I've had to go through some personal experiences that taught me this life lesson. I want to start off and reading in some scripture here. It's in Numbers, in chapter 22. It is about Balak and Balaam. Let me pull it up here. And I'll summarize some of it. And anyway, Balak saw the Israelites and he wanted Balaam to curse the Israelites because the Israelites had just defeated the Amorites. And so Balak was part of the Moab tribe, and he wanted Balaam. He told Balaam, he said, I know who you bless will be blessed. I know who you curse will be cursed, you know. And Balaam was like, well, how can I curse what God has called blessed, you know? So anyway, it goes on down. Through this story, it goes on down to where he had asked him, and the Lord told him, you know, no. Basically told Balaam, no, you don't go. And Balak said, well, I'll pay you really well. I'll give you plenty, everything you'll need, you know. He was really willing to bribe him to go and do this. He asked him to stay one more night, you know. Or just stay one more night. Let's just hear what the Lord has to say about it. And finally, the Lord, and this kind of threw me for a loop, the Lord said, okay, because these men have come, rise up and go with them. Well, on his way, the anger of the Lord stirred up because he didn't want Balaam to go. And I thought, well, Lord, just a few other verses, you told him to go. Now you're angry with him because he's going. Okay. What we miss is the Lord was trying to teach Balaam a lesson. And that lesson was to completely listen and rely and depend upon the Lord. You know, in all of this, you know. Balaam was just going to go and do whatever what man said. You know, the Lord had to show him. And so what happened was, is the Lord placed an angel in the path, and the donkey that Balaam was riding veered off the road. Well, Balaam beat the donkey, got it back on course. On down the road, the angel stood between gates. Balaam, the donkey, tried to pass and hurt Balaam's leg at this point. So he beat the donkey again. On down the road, the angel stood again. And the donkey couldn't get around, so he just lay down. So Balaam beat the donkey once again. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Why have you hit me these three times? Have I not been your donkey all these years? Have you not rode me for all these years? Basically, you know, do you think that I would let you down? Do you think that I would be doing this for any other reason? You know, all these years I have done exactly what I was supposed to be doing, basically, you know, what this donkey was saying. Balaam didn't know what was happening. The donkey saw it. Until the Lord opened Balaam's eyes in the spirit realm, and he saw the angel standing with sword drawn, and said, "If the donkey hadn't have done these things, I would have killed you and spared the donkey." See, the donkey was protecting Balaam. And Balaam had no idea. All he thought, it was a hindrance. See, the Lord places donkeys in our lives. And I don't want you to think that they're lower than you, but they are placed there for a reason. It may seem like it's a hindrance. It may seem like it's you're not going to get there. It may seem that you're not going to fulfill whatever you're feeling like you need to go fulfill. And they're holding you up. There's a reason that they're there. There was a reason that that donkey was doing what it was doing. Regardless of what Balaam thought, all the years prior, that donkey did exactly what it was supposed to do. There's people that comes in our lives that are just like that. Just like that. Judas Iscariot. I would call Judas Iscariot, and this is where I come up with the worm, one of Jesus' worms. And why I say that is, I was in the garden, and I was tilling up the garden. Everybody knows that it's time for planting your gardens. And as I was tilling up the garden, these worms was turning up in the tiller. Why the Lord does this, I don't know, but He always does. And He said, "Look at those worms." Okay, I'm looking. He says, "Those worms are essential for your garden."
That's right.
Because what those worms do is they go in and they take and make this soil good and rich for good gardening. And the thought of those worms being on your food growing up is disgusting, but it is essential for the growth. And there was someone placed into my life before all of this happened that I just wanted removed. I didn't want them there. I didn't ask for them to be there, and I did not want them there. You know, that's just where I was. I wanted them gone. And the Lord said, "This person is your worm. I've placed them there for your growth. I've put them in your life essentially to help you and to grow you. It is essential that you have these worms in your life. Embrace them." And then I started looking at people around me differently. And I thought, well, you know what? I've got a few other people that get on my nerves. You know, I love them, but they, you know, I love them, but they get on my nerves.
That's right.
And I said, you know what? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the worms that are in my life. Thank you for the donkeys that stand in the way. It was essential that Judas Iscariot did what Judas Iscariot did. To fulfill the scripture, to fulfill the prophecy. Do you think that Jesus liked any of it? Do you think He enjoyed any of it? Do you think He enjoyed being stabbed in the back and betrayed? He didn't. He sweat great drops of blood. He didn't want to go through it. He asked the Father to let the cup pass. It's tough. Being in the garden is tough. Being in the garden of God is tough. It's not easy. It's a fight. It is a fight. I was watching, I don't know why I like this movie, but I like this movie. It's got a great quote. Has everybody seen Braveheart?
That's right.
William Wallace in Braveheart was given a big speech. He was giving a speech to the army that they were fixing to go and fight. And it says, you have come to fight as free men, and free men you are. What would you do without freedom? Will you fight? And one of the soldiers says, fight against that? No, we will run and we will live. You know, that was his response. We'll run and we'll live. He said, fight, you may die. Run and you may live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell your enemies that they may take your lives, but they will never take your freedom? This is a fight, church. It's a fight. We've got people in our lives that we didn't ask to be there. We've got areas of life that we don't want to walk through. We've got things that we've got to endure that we don't want to endure. You heard Pastor James talk about the enemy of our faith. Satan is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can take your faith, he has won. This is a fight. We have the victory in Jesus, but only in Jesus do we have the victory. It's a battle every day, every person in your life. The question is, are you going to fight? Are you going to be willing to fight? You know, and take these principles, take them and use them. These people are placed in your life to fulfill the will of God and the destiny that you were designed and placed to be. Otherwise, these people wouldn't be there. See, everyone in this room knows that everything happens for a reason. It's not coincidence. You're here for a divine reason. You were here last week for a divine reason. Last week you were learning to love yourself. This week you're learning to love others and embrace others that are placed into your life. They're essential. They are essential for your growth. Does that change your whole perspective of people in your life? It makes it really difficult.
I know just who the worms are.
Yeah. But it makes you want to love those worms and embrace them and say thank you, Lord, for them. Now, by no means I don't want you to get a haughty spirit and feel that you're greater than these worms that we're speaking of. Because in the reality, we have to look at that in humility. No, we're not. We're not greater than anyone. We're great in the Father's eyes, and so are the worms. He's placed them there for a reason. They're great in His eyes, too. We have to come at it with humility. The Lord loves them, too. Now, even if they're being wretched, the Lord still loves them. He still paid that price for them. Will they change? Only He knows, and it's only up to Him to decide that. We can do our part and minister, but, you know, it's only in his timing, and their option to choose, of course. Another thing I wanted to share this morning real quick is I had somebody here a while back, and Bill, you can definitely relate. When you're trying to minister to people, especially people that don't want to change,
yeah,
they tend to pull everything that they can about you, everything that they can get a hold of, to label you as whatever they want to label you as, to where they don't have to hear you. I was ministering to a gentleman here a while back, and he's been some out of marriage stuff, you know, in a relation with a woman. And I said, you know, brother, I said, the Lord's not going to honor that, you know. Well, who are you? You know, did you do this before you got your wife? And yeah, I sure did. You know, I was a sinner. I was a heathen. I didn't understand the laws and the Lord. I said, but the difference is you do. You understand. You know that it's wrong. You're a hypocrite. You know, and I got the whole you're a hypocrite speech. I want you to get this. I took the whole you're a hypocrite. I said, okay. I said, if I'm a hypocrite, does it still change the truths of God's word? Of what God said?
Brilliant.
I said, because whether it's coming from a hypocrite or whether it's coming from a donkey, if it is the truth, it is the truth.
That's right.
You're trying to put a label on something and trying to find fault with something because you don't want to deal with yourself and you don't want to change. That's why you're doing what you're doing. So there's going to be some people in your life that minister to you and minister to you a right word that are living like the devil. Don't ignore what the Lord is trying to say. Take it, embrace it, weed out the bad, and say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Because the Lord can use that too. He used a donkey to open the eyes of his prophet. Okay, he can use a hypocrite, or he can use, you know, this sinner over here. I've heard sinner people say stuff that line dead up with Scripture, and that it was just something that the Lord was trying to say. Because I wouldn't hear so-and-so, or I wouldn't hear so-and-so. It was just how the Lord had to do it to open your eyes. So when we put a blocker up and try to avoid those type of people, we're actually blocking what the Lord could say to us through those people. Those type of people are very essential. You know, we need to embrace every person that God places in our life, good or bad. You know, so I want you guys to be blessed. I want you to be able to take this word. I want you to be able to apply it. I'm applying it right now as we speak. I'm not just telling you something that I'm not going through. I'm having to apply this word every day. There's still some people in my life that I've got issues with.
That's right.
That I'm thinking, you know, okay, Lord, help me accept them being here. You know, help me deal with them being here. You know, with the Lord giving me that, even still it's hard. It is. It's not easy. It's a fight. And that, you know, I guess that's why I watched that movie. You know, will you fight? Will you fight for freedom? Will you stand up and fight?
That's right.
Will you be willing to do it and go through it, regardless of how they treat you or how they do you? That's what true believers are called to do. Mm-hmm. If we stand up here and say that we're this or we're that, and we're not doing that, and we're not fighting, who are we? Who are we? If we love those that just love us, who are we? Because Jesus compared them to the Pharisees. Well, even they love those that love them. Even they give to those that expect it in return and give it back. Who are you? We have taught our children, society. We've taught it in the church. It's sad. Somebody hits you. You can get them back.
That's right.
We teach our children this.
That's right.
I got a problem with it personally.
That's right.
If somebody's bullying you,
that's right,
you straighten it out. That's the way my parents was.
Yeah.
You straighten it out.
Yeah.
You lock them jaws. You straighten it out. Is that biblical teaching?
Yeah.
But we allowed it. We allowed it. Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. And your neighbor is yourself. If we go around beating up our neighbor, does that show much love? No. We have to love the person, who they are and where they are. Because where they are is not where they're going to be. And maybe who they are is not really who they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's right.
So the person that they're acting like right now is not who God designed them to be. I think this is helping someone. I don't know who, but it's helping somebody. I challenge you to take an inventory of the people that is in your life, good and bad, and start asking the Lord how to handle it, how to deal with it. You don't just write them off. Lord, how can this strengthen me? How can this person been in my life,
that's right,
cause me to grow for your glory? And how can I help them? My grandmother always told me something that has always stuck with me. You never know what two or three words might mean to a person. So the Lord may can give you those two or three words. Or maybe that just that loving touch, that hug, whatever it is, that completely melts and breaks everything in their heart and causes them to repent. See, it's not always all about going out and repent. It's not always all about that. It is. I mean, it does work. Sometimes it's just the lifestyle that we live before people and the love of Christ. You can't win anyone without love. The Bible talks clearly of it. You can speak in tongues and clash in cymbals and this and that, and you can prophesy, and without love, it amounts to nothing. We have to love. We have to love the nuisances as you will in your life. God placed them there for a great purpose and a good purpose. If we can learn to embrace it, we will grow so much more. So much more. Be encouraged. Has anybody got anything they want to add? Anything?
Yeah, I think one of the things that will help me is with my children. I have, my children are grown, families of their own, and two of the four children have bosses who are really awful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Really do just underhanded, awful things to them. And I've sort of touched on this, but it's only been a bare touch. And I think that I need to spend some more time talking about the possibility that God has them there for a reason.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
I kind of mentioned it, but I really didn't push it, and I think I need to push it.
It's good. It's a good word. Anybody else?
You were talking about being in the garden and the worms. You know, it's a, you know, difficult. It's difficult. You know, in the fight. And I've always said, and I was going to say, you know, even though it's a fight, it'll be the most beautiful garden. And I've always said that walking with God is the most difficult path, but it's the most beautiful path.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
It's
good word.
It is. It's a battle. It's a fight. It's difficult, but it's the most beautiful path you'll ever walk. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a battle because there's someone who doesn't want you to walk the path.
Of course. Yeah, and the more that you walk, the more that you battle because the enemy's right there. So
that's right.
Yeah. It's good. Anybody else? This is good.
That's a terrific sermon.
It's amazing what you can do in an area of brokenness.
Yeah.
And what the Lord can do. When He puts you in a place of brokenness, it's amazing how much He can actually work. You know? And when you come and you're like, well, I just don't feel it and I don't know. The Lord always shows up.
Yeah.
Somehow He says, well, you know what, I'm going to take your weakness and make it
exactly
my strength,
right.
You know.
Exactly right.
So it, what changed between now and then, you know, it was, you know.
We have to go through battles for it to be part of our testimony,
yeah.
You know, and to glorify God.
Yeah, you can't have a testimony unless you have a test.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
Then all you have is a moaning.
Amen.
And nobody likes a moaning.
That's right.
You know. And I want to pray for you guys, you know, that you can begin to embrace the people that God placed into your life, you know, and start loving them where they are.
Well, also use your worms, though, as an analogy. I mean, it doesn't have to be a person. It can always be a situation.
It can be.
So those worms are...
He knows where you're at, knows what you're going through, and can touch any situation. You just got to be willing to let that go and let Him have it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord God. I thank You for everyone here, Lord Father. The ones that You have placed in our lives, Father God, we just thank You and praise You for them, God. Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, You would use the people, God, that You've placed into our paths, Father, to edify and to grow, Father, to mature, Father, each and every one of us, God, into that person that You have called us to be, Father, and designed us to be, Lord God. Father, I ask You to give us patience, Father, to deal and to handle these people, God, that You've placed, and these situations, Father, that You have placed in our paths, Father God, that we would come through, Father, with complete victory in Jesus, Father, and only being able to give You the glory, Lord God. Lord, not that we would boast, Father, but we could point and say that it was only the Father that got me through. Lord, and we just give You glory and honor and thank You and praise You, Lord God. Lord, I bless each and everyone here, Father, that You would multiply, Father, everything that You have called them to be, Father, into their lives, Lord God, that You would open their eyes to see, Father, the areas and the places in their life, Father, that You require more, Father, that You would need more from them, God. Lord, need more for them to give up and to surrender to You, Lord Father. Lord, I have so many myself, Lord Father. Lord, I'm not without fault, Father. And we just thank You and praise You, Lord Father God, for this time to give, Father. Lord, I ask You to bless each and every one that gives, Father, to the ministry, Father God, and give You glory and honor. Lord, and I just pray over everyone, Father, as they leave, Lord, that You would give them safe travels, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That You would give them great health, Father God. That You would give them prosperous health, Father. And Lord, that You would give them a divine love, Father, to love one another, love their neighbors, Father, and love themselves, Father God.
Yes,
we just thank You and praise You, Lord God, that because of that love, Father, people will be one to Your kingdom, Father. They will see it and they will know that they are real, Lord God. We just give You glory and honor. Thank You. And ask You to have the rest of this day, Father, and glorify You in Jesus' name.